Hi, we're Basil and Heidi. We're both senior programmers at the festival, and happy to chat with you.
Yeah, so this is, of course, now the last Sundance, which happens in Park City. And also last year, sadly, the founder of the festival, Robert Redford, has passed. So it's a moment of a pivotal change for the festival, or at least it feels like that. So as a first question, I would say, what actually defines a Sundance film? Because everybody kind of seems to, if you say like, this is a Sundance movie, then all my colleagues, like also civilians, film people, they seem to have kind of an idea what that means. But what would you say, what makes a Sundance film?
I mean, I would, like, it's funny, like, it's absolutely, so many people think they have an idea of what a Sundance film is. And I feel like for myself and for many of the programmers, there is no one such thing as a Sundance film. I think the thing that is exciting about programming this festival is supporting as many different types of voices and stories as we possibly can across this selection of films. Obviously, we're very devoted to supporting independent filmmaking, and that is what drives the vast majority of our selection process. But in terms of like genre, budget, like all of these things, there is no one ideal that is a Sundance film. The thing that's exciting is, you know, completely different films sitting together right next to each other in a program, and an audience being able to see one thing and then see something utterly different in scope, in emotion, and, you know, in setting in the very next screening. So I feel like it's just a personal pet peeve. There's no such thing as a Sundance movie.
Yeah, I mean, I'd say like we completely understand the question because we do get it a lot. And I do think that there is an idea broadly around what a Sundance film is, because they think of classic films that we premiered that went out to do really big things, Little Miss Sunshine or Beasts of the Southern Wild, or, you know, different films from different parts of our past. But really, you know, people really started talking about Sundance quite a bit in the 90s. And I think people still have a sense in their mind that they can spot a film and say, oh, that's very much a Sundance film. But that might be a Sundance film that would have been a Sundance film in the 90s and is not necessarily something that we are still kind of showing today. I would even say, like, you know, we announced our Park City Legacy program, and there are, I think, 8 films that represent a diversity of kinds of films that Sundance has shown even classically within the last 40 years. So you will have something like Little Miss Sunshine, but people forget that a film like House Party also debuted at Sundance, which is not what most people probably think of when you hear Sundance film, or Saw, as to the point about genre films. Like, we have a history of premiering films like that, or Get Out, that are wildly different from one another, and yet still we consider them Sundance films. But, you know, so I think that is the good part of what we do, is that we're able to kind of help bring different types of films to audiences. And ultimately, what I think the Sundance film really boils down to is it's about discovery. It's about sort of identifying new voices, identifying voices that have different ways of different viewpoints, different ways of telling stories. And that's really what we look for when we put together a lineup.
So one thing, Bob, that is specific to Sundance is it's an independent film festival. But still, independent is, as you already said, is a very broad spectrum. But we see also a lot of star power and high budget, glossy productions at Sundance. Or do you sometimes worry that there is a chance that those films overshadow the smaller productions, and that kind of the original idea of promoting really small films of unknown people who need the festival as a platform could get lost, or just could be sidelined? Maybe not lost, but sidelined.
I mean, I it's a great question, and you're absolutely right. The scope of what an independent film is right now is massive. I guess I feel like I would argue that they all need the support of festivals right now because of the general environment regarding theatrical distribution and how things go for any film right now. But I also think we're very mindful as we curate this program. And one thing that we do is we stay quite small in the number of films that we do select, specifically because we want to make sure that every film that plays at our festival doesn't feel overshadowed, and like, and it doesn't feel like they didn't get the moment that we want a Sundance premiere to mean to every film in our festival. So I do think that the festival experience is something that supports even the biggest indies. And so I don't think we don't feel like we can help those films, because I believe that we do provide something vital to those films that also need help. But we don't want to, we would never close our minds to just selecting a film because it's smaller, because we believe we can be the platform for those films as well. We believe that we can give those films the attention that they need and deserve to launch into the marketplace also.
And I'd also say that, you know, again, to sort of echo a lot of what Heidi just said, there are films that have talent, but new directors or new writers. There are films that have talent that are not the most amazing, and we don't select those, even though we know that there would be an audience because they'd be excited by so-and-so actor being in a film. So we try to, again, stay true to ourselves and true to the mission of the festival around the idea of discovery and around the idea of supporting independent storytelling and voices, so that you will see a wide range. I mean, there are films in the competition that have recognizable celebrities, let's say, but there are many that don't, or that are maybe a little more, more primed for discovery. And similarly, even in the premiere section, which is typically the section where we are showing alumni films or established filmmakers, even within that, there is room every year for a filmmaker that is new. Maybe he or she may have made a career in television first, or has something else in their background, or the film itself is about a notable person and that might make it into premieres, but they are a new filmmaker needing that support and needing that sort of spotlight as well.
We already mentioned Sundance is moving to Boulder, Colorado, the town that most people know from Stephen King novels. So that's where killer clowns hang out. There's a lot of talk about will Sundance keep its spirit, but change is not necessarily a bad thing. It can also be a great opportunity. Will there be changes, or do you have new ideas that you hope to realize in the future?
What I can say is that, you know, we are actively and have been for a while planning what the 2027 festival will look like. But we are very focused on the 2026 that we still have to realize and sort of get through and enjoy and sort of introduce this new crop of films. So we don't have any kind of specific information that we can share at this point in terms of what we're doing in Boulder, but we are open to possibilities. We're open to thinking about what has worked for us, what has not worked for us. We're open to kind of bringing back programs that maybe we've not done in a while. We're open to a lot of things. I mean, we're excited by the opportunities there. It's not so much a leaving things behind, but you're right. Change is not necessarily a bad thing. We do think we can hold on to the spirit of what Sundance is. That's one of the main reasons that we are doing this whole move in the first place, is being able to sort of stay true to ourselves and be a sustainable organization and festival going forward. So I think it's kind of a watch the space for what we're going to be doing, because we will have announcements after the festival in the lead up to the first Boulder edition. But it is a little too early for us to be able to share any specifics at this point.
One thing that Sundance is famous and well known for is its diversity, that it's one of very few festivals, especially if you compare it to the classic European festivals like Venice or Cannes, which are really the opposite of diverse and very hierarchical. Sundance is more diverse in the scope of its films and talents, but what about the audience and the press? You have this amazing thing, which is the press initiative, that you invite people that have lesser opportunities, minorities that might be underrepresented. Toronto used to have it. Toronto doesn't have it anymore. So as far as I know, you're maybe the only major festival that has that. But I would be interested in how many people actually can profit from this initiative. Like, is it 50? Is it 100? Is it 500? Because I have like no idea how many vaguely get invited, and what other measures are taken to achieve more diversity and equality, also equal opportunities for the press.
It's such a great question. I think we do need to defer to our press team, and I see Alex in the chat that she can, because that team has more information about the specifics of the press initiative, and I think I don't know the specifics. I mean, obviously the values are entirely central to the festival, and we do a lot of community outreach to make sure that minority communities are able to access the festival. But in terms of the press initiative specifically, I think if Alex is okay with that, that's best handled by the press team.
Yeah, and I can address a little bit on the to what Heidi just alluded to, which is, you know, diversity of audience and across the board is very important to us. So we do have programs that are intended to help get audiences in that otherwise would not be able to afford the festival, wouldn't be able to afford tickets, in some cases don't even know about the festival or their ability to attend as regular old people as opposed to industry or anything. So we do have community access programs, Utah community programs, free screenings for locals. We work with different groups around Utah to be able to get them tickets and get them access. And even outside of Utah with the online program, we are able to provide some ability to give free access or some kind of access to different groups that want to see themselves on stage, on screen, and want to be able to participate in the festival, even if they are not able to come out to the physical festival.
Then there's another thing that's actually totally connected to what we're doing right now. We're doing this interview, doesn't happen on site in Sundance. I am actually doing it, like, if you're listening it, I will be in Park City, but at the moment I'm still at home in Berlin, and you are in Salt Lake City, on Park City?
Los Angeles.
In Los Angeles. Okay, so you are very far away, and Sundance is one of the festivals, it's getting more and more, that have an online accreditation. Even though it's a paradox, since I'm doing this interview digital, but I'm very critical and skeptical about online festivals, because I think that a festival, the essence isn't online. You can watch films online, but it's not a festival. A festival is so much more than watching just films online on a tiny screen. Will that continue? And are you, what will you, how do you see it? What are your thoughts on this?
All we can speak about regarding the online festival is this edition. You know, we always take learnings from it to see what, if anything, we're going to change about it in the future. But we have not made any decisions about it for going forward. And we're not really able to say anything about whether it will continue or not continue. That's something that will be one of those announcements, I think, that come later as we are making the plans revealed for the Boulder edition. So unfortunately, don't really have an answer for you at this point on that.
I think I have one more question, so I saved it until the end because it's the most tricky. Sundance is seen as a political festival, which is a great thing, and everything is political, and basically also a liberal left-wing democratic festival, which is very challenging in these times, I think, especially in the US. So how do you see it? Do you see the festival as neutral, or would you say that you have a specific political goals, not necessarily related to specific parties, but to ideas more?
I mean, I think that what we can say is that it's not so much about what the festival itself believes, it's about us creating a platform for voices to be able to engage in dialogue. And so while I completely understand your question, and there may be a perception that we're liberal or left leaning, and certainly some of the films that we show engage with those issues in that way, we have had a history of also showing films that show different perspectives, that have more conservative perspectives, especially within our home state of Utah. We have shown films about Mitt Romney, for example, or Dick Cheney. So we've shown films that kind of look at the different spectrum around politics, but ultimately it is the magic of what happens when audiences engage with these films and they have discussions or debates or you know, people have very strong opinions, and filmmakers have strong opinions. And we are there to provide a platform for people to be able to see these films and to discuss them and to engage with them and hopefully learn something from one another. I mean, it's hard in these times to engage in that dialogue, but that I think is really the main point of having a public exhibition like a film festival, is to allow people to be able to be exposed to different viewpoints and have the space to be able to discuss them as well.
Yeah, I think, you know, I agree with everything Basil said. And it's sort of like when you were just speaking about like the magic of being together in the room at the festival, that open, you know, comfortable, safe exchange of ideas, even when people completely disagree, I think is so core to what a film festival offers.
Thank you so much. So I got the signal that this was the final questions. But thank you so much for taking the time and your great answers. Thank you.
Sure. We hope to see you during the festival in Park City.